I blinked at her for a minute. That sounds really boring. But scary, Molly said. Very tense. She took a deep breath and said, I had to throw up twice, just sitting there. I was so nervous. I don't know if I'm going to be cut out for this kind of thing, Harry. Thank God, I said. You're sane. I took a few more bites of food and then said, but I need to know how much you want to know. Molly blinked and leaned toward me a little. What? There's a lot I can tell you, I said. Some of it is just business. Some of it is going to be dangerous for you to know about. It might even obligate you in ways you wouldn't like very much. So you won't tell me that part? She asked. Didn't say that, I said. I'm willing, but some of this stuff you'd be safer and happier not knowing. I don't want to endanger you or trap you into feeling you have to act without giving you a choice about it. Molly stared at me for a minute while I gobbled cereal. Then she frowned, looked down at her hands for a minute, and said, Maybe just tell me what you think is best for now. Good answer, I said quietly. And I told her about the White Court, about the challenge and the duel, about Vittorio's betrayal and how he gated in the ghouls, and how I'd had my own backup standing by in the Never Never. What? Molly said. How did you do that? Thomas, I said. He's a vampire, and they have the ability to cross into the Never Never at certain places. What kind of places? Molly asked. Places that are, I said, important to them, relevant to them in a particular way. Places of lust, you mean? Molly said. I coughed and ate more cereal. Yeah, and places where significant things have happened to them. In Thomas's case, he was nearly sacrificed by a cult of porn star sorceresses in those caves a few years ago. I'm sorry, Molly said, interrupting. But it sounded like you said, cult of porn star sorceresses. Yeah, I said. Oh, she said, giving me a skeptical look. Sorry, then. Keep going. Anyway, he nearly died there, so I knew he could find it again. He led Marcone and Murphy there, and they were camped out, waiting for me to open a gate. I see, Molly said. And you all ganged up on this Vittorio guy and killed him? Not quite, I said. And told her what happened, leaving out any mention of Lashiel or Cowell. Molly blinked as I finished. Well, that explains it then. Explains what? There were all kinds of little lights going by the windows all night. They didn't upset Mouse. I thought maybe it was some kind of sending, and figured the wards would keep it out. She shook her head. It must have been all the little fairies. They hang around all the time anyway, I said. It just takes a lot of them before it's obvious enough to notice. I chewed Cheerios thoughtfully. More mouths to feed. Guess I better call Pizza Express and step up my standing order, or we'll have some kind of teeny fairy clan war over pizza rights on our hands. I finished breakfast, found my back stiffening again after sitting still, and was stretching out a little when Murphy arrived. She was still in her party clothes from the night before, complete with a loaded backpack. After kneeling down to give Mouse his hug, she surprised me. I got one too. I surprised myself with how hard I hugged back. Molly occasionally displayed wisdom beyond her years. She did now, taking my car keys, showing them to me, and departing without a word, firmly shutting the door behind her. Glad you're okay, I told Murphy. Yeah, she said. Her voice shook a little, even on that one word, and she took a deep breath and spoke more clearly. That was fairly awful, even by your usual standards. You made it out all right? Nothing I won't get over, I told her. You had any breakfast? Don't think my stomach is up for much after all that, she said. I have Cheerios, I said, as if I'd been saying dark chocolate caramel almond fudge custard. Oh, God, Murphy sighed. How can I resist?